Hello and welcome to The Anchored. This is a place where we discuss and dive deep into health, wealth, and relationship centered on Christ.
We're not therapists, we're not your financial advisors, but we believe that we can live life well as couples anchored in Christ. Enjoy the episode.
Hello, welcome to The Anchored, where we discuss and dive into scriptures that pertains to marriage, a husband and wife coming together, and model after Christ. So this episode is power packed. I'm here with my lovely wife.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of craziness.
Crazy. Today is crazy. What are we talking about?
Today, we're going to talk about divorce in the context of a marriage that's anchored in Christ.
Yes.
What does the Bible have to say about divorce? And this is really important because we know that divorce is something that is going up. The data is out there. It is high. And there always is this question about where does the Bible and where does the church and where should we as Christians be focused on when it comes to divorce? Is this something that is allowed in a church? And so this is going to be a heavy one. And honestly, I don't know that we'll have a resolution at the end of this, but my hope is that this stimulate some conversation for you with you and your spouse, and also to make you ask questions and go to your Bible ultimately, because that's the whole point of this, is to inspire you to dig deeper into what the Word of God says. And our hope as well is that prevention is better than cure. How can we prevent this from even happening in the first place so that it's not something that we have to disagree on, like Shelley and I might disagree
on
tonight.
We disagree a lot. We do. And so there's a lot of growth that needs to take place before you can go into marriage or the commitment of marriage, because divorce is big, right? So when should we divorce? When is the right time to divorce?
You know, I think we can, let's start with what we agree on. We agree that going into a marriage with the intent of, if this does not work, I'm just going to get a divorce. Like, a divorce should not be something that is taken lightly. Mm-hmm. It's not something that should be held with you as you go into a relationship as a, well, I'm going to try this out, and if it doesn't work, divorce. Or at the very first sight of discomfort or disagreement or whatever, divorce. That we disagree about. We agree about that a lot of times I think that it's used too loosely, and marriage is hard, like anything else, right? You bring in two people that have their own programming, that have different exposure, different history, different stories in their head about how they interpret stuff, into a house, and now you're like, they're going to live together, right? So, you know, the first couple of years of marriages can be one of the hardest. Mm-hmm. But I think that having the commitment of an expectation that that may be the case, and the commitment of we're going to do everything we can to make this work, that part is not negotiable.
Mm-hmm. Because Christ's commitment to the church, again, remember in the previous episode, we talked about the man and the woman come together modeled after Christ and the church. Christ is not like, okay, at the first sign of you sinning, I'm out. You're not part of me, right? So this Christ himself committed to the church. That's why he laid down his life. So divorce is heavy. And so before we even consider that, you need to first consider why you're getting married in the first place. And we tackled that in the previous episode. So now divorce, like Latifah said, we do not, to go into marriage and say, I have a door open ready for me to exit, is shooting yourself in the foot. And so is divorce sanctioned in the Bible? Yes, according to the Jewish people who approached Jesus in Matthew chapter 19, they literally walked up to Jesus and talked about marriage, right? And and Jesus actually said in verse 3, some Pharisees came to Jesus to test him. They asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Now, think about that. So the Jews had this in their mindset that, look, I'm getting married for any and every reason. Whenever I feel like it, that woman is out the door, Okay. And Jesus Christ responded, listen, haven't you read verse 4 of Matthew 19? That at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, this is not me, this is Jesus. What God has joined together, let no one separate, or like we say, put asunder. So verse 7, why then, the Jewish leaders asked, did Moses command that a man should give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. And so I will stop there. So from the beginning, the Creator did not make marriage with a door open for divorce. God himself brought us together and made us one. And man should not dare separate what God has put together. That is how powerful marriage is. So we do not entertain divorce unless we go to verse 9. But I want that to marinate first, and I want Latifah's input on that one.
No, I definitely agree that was not the intent that, you know, that God had when he first brought Adam and Eve together, mm-hmm. right? And that was before sin entered into the world, mm-hmm. right? And that's what the Jewish culture was talking about, that the reason why Moses said, y'all should, better for y'all to get divorced than to kill each other, was because the heart was hardened, right? Sin had entered into the world, sin had entered into their life. Mm-hmm. And when your heart is hardened, like, what does that even mean when your heart is hardened, right? Correct. It means that you're no longer listening, mm-hmm. you're not hearing, right? Your mind is fixed. Mm-hmm. There's no sort of like flexibility or abundance to hearing. You've made your decision. You've had your thoughts already, and there's no one that's going to change that, mm-hmm. right? There's no room for forgiveness. There's no room for explanations. There's no room for what was the intent, right? So when that has happened, it's almost like, you know, kids. Mm-hmm. When kids are like not listening, you're like, there's no point even having a conversation right now because there's nothing I'm going to say that Correct. Is going to enter your ears. Correct. And now imagine that has been the state of constance, Correct. Where it doesn't even matter. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing is going to change. So it's mm-hmm. sort of like, what are the options and what are the alternatives to stay there and kill each other, or to have a way that they can be able to separate? Mm-hmm.
And this is taken from Deuteronomy 24. And by the time we get to Deuteronomy 24, if you read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, by the time the Israelites got to Deuteronomy, they had shown so much unbelief. Mm-hmm. Their hearts was full of unbelief, though outwardly they showed affection to God. And we see that in the prophets. Their hearts were far away from God. And so God, through Moses, now said, you know what, to keep these people at bay, because their hearts are so hardened, until Christ comes, mm-hmm. let them give their wives a certificate of divorce. But from the beginning, it was not so. So in Christ Jesus, this is the reconciliation. There is no entertainment of divorce until you get to Matthew 19, verse 9, which says, I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. So the disciples said to him, if this is the situation,
what the heck?
If this is it, this is what they're saying in 2023's lingo. If this is the case, people, it is better not to marry. So the way I resonate with the disciples is this. I really need to think before I even commit to marriage. I need to think hard. I need to pray about it. I need to know the person, right? Because if you know the person and what you're committing to, then yes, there's no, you're not entertaining divorce. But because if this is the case, then I'm going to be like Apostle Paul and, you know, I'm just going to stay single. So I think the next thing that starts bubbling up in your mind is, what if in cases of abuse? What if in cases of the person is not pulling their weight? What if in the cases of the person has done something, they constantly are falling short? What do you do?
Yeah. And I think that's why the Bible talks about not being equally yoked with unbelievers, mm-hmm. right? Because it's hard to effect change when your frame of reference is different.
Mm-hmm.
It is not impossible, it's just harder.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, when we, Sheila and I, if we truly believe that the Bible is true,
mm-hmm.
like we just, that's like basic, that's like agreement 101
mm-hmm.
or 001 is, do I believe the Bible is true? If I believe the Bible is true, Sheila, do you believe the Bible is true? And if that's the case, now we have something objective
mm-hmm.
that is true that's becoming the guideline through which we live our lives. However, if we have different frame and it's like, well, in my own religion, yes, you can. In my own religion, we can. Then it makes it harder, right?
Mm-hmm.
In order to come to a common place of through which we're going to execute whatever we want to execute. So I think that's why it's important to even be like, be so sure as you can. Yes, people do change, right? But that is why it's important to make sure that you're being intentional about who you're choosing to pick as your lifelong partner. And it's not only good enough to pick who you're choosing, it's also going to be important to make sure that you're nurturing the relationship, and not just in a date night kind of way, but also from a spiritual kind of way. Like, dude, we need to go to church. Like, we need to be fed, because I do not want to have to get to the point where we're having to decide whether a divorce is something we want or not. Like, so building each other and helping each other grow, right? Talking about the scripture together as a family, praying together as a family, not just at bedtime, but letting the spirit of the Lord reign in your house
mm-hmm.
is a way that actually helps you grow,
mm-hmm.
not separately, growing together. Because when you're growing together, where the spirit of the Lord is, like, you are now, how do you call it? You're now, you enter to a power that is bigger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, when, before we got married, I was worried about that. So one of my biggest prayers, God, please let me marry someone that loves you more than they're ever going to love me, so that their standards, like God's standard is up here. I'm a chilling down here. All right. So I'm like, shoot, I ain't going to worry, because who you listening to? Right. So the key is having that similar frame of reference is important, but also spurring each other. Like, Shelly's growth is for him, it's for a kingdom, but it's also selfishly for our relationship, to make our relationship easier in a certain way,
mm-hmm.
right? Because marriage is hard regardless, not being married is hard regardless. However, when we have that commonality of spirit, it makes it easier to have a tiebreaker even when we mm-hmm. have a disagreement, because it's like, what does the word of God say, right? Mm-hmm. It mm-hmm. says that we should forgive each other as mm-hmm. Christ forgives us. It mm-hmm. says that if there's someone that you've wronged or someone that has something against you, you should go take care of that even before you give your offering, right? So it's like, if that is the truth, then
mm-hmm.
it says to forgive so many times. And you're like, man, it literally, correct. It's going to take the grace of God to forgive 77 times, 7 times in a day.
Correct.
That's a long time, a lot of times.
Correct. Correct. And so the hardening of the hearts, like you've spoken to, is one of the main reasons why people get divorced, right? And there is the place of abuse. That is
yeah.
a separate topic, honestly, where you need to tackle what happens when there's abuse.
Yeah.
But when your husband or your wife is not picking up their weight, for example, maybe something happens after marriage, it's, according to Jesus, it's not grounds for divorce. And I know that can be painful to hear, because at that point, something is going on in that marriage, and marriage is something that you bear together.
And you work on it.
Yeah, you work on it. You work
therapy,
hard.
Therapy,
and you're patient. Yeah.
Your pastor, correct. Leaders, people in your community that you look up mm-hmm. to, that you trust, like... Mm-hmm. The key is, it cannot be the first resort.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot.
And Apostle Paul, before he got to Ephesians chapter 5, because if you read it as a letter, if you read from Ephesians 1, by the time you get to Ephesians 5, he opens up with, we should love one another. So we are at the point where, because Christ loved us, because Christ gave himself for us, because we are one with Christ, now from that place of abundance, I love. I have a heart of love. And that heart is not hardened. And then it leads into, you know, where he starts addressing husbands and wives.
It's interesting. Right. What you said right now just triggered a thought, which is it possible for you to love me in a way that is truly biblical and Christ-centered and not pull your weight.
Is it possible?
Is that true love then? Is that really love, like Christ's love, to say that you love someone but not pull your weight?
Correct. So, I mean, in marriage, you can, when you love someone and something happens, you stop pulling your weight, right? Then you're falling short. And then what corrects you? The scriptures.
I guess that means we're going to have another episode of what is love?
Yes, right.
What does love look like in a relationship?
Correct. Because again, remember, love also covers a multitude of sins. So I'm not pulling my weight. My wife's love covers me, right? My wife's love is patient. My wife's love
to a certain
is
extent
corrected. And that's why we are constantly feeding on God's word.
Absolutely.
Because the word of God is that which grows in us, is that which enriches us. When a man or a woman in marriage separates himself or herself from the gospel or stops devoting himself to the reading of the word and to Christ, then yes, slowly things start to fall, right? You start to see the cracks. And so, yes, it is possible to be in a committed relationship in a marriage, and something over time happens, and then you fall short, you start picking up your weight. What do? The same way you started is the same way you're going to get back on, which is the word of God, right? And that word, it's God's word that softens our heart. It's God's word that helps us to forgive. Ephesians 4:31, right? We should forgive even as God through Christ forgave us, right? So if my wife wrongs me, right, then I must will myself. By the time I get to Ephesians 5, remember Ephesians 4:31 comes before Ephesians 5, I will myself to forgive. And it's not, we're not talking about something that is easy, but we're talking about something that we can do because of the Spirit of God in us. So divorce is not entertained at all when we commit to marriage. We know it can happen for many reasons. But coming into marriage, we do not entertain that thought. We do not leave that door open in the first place. That's why even the commitment to marriage itself is enough work, enough work, you know, that will help avoid divorce.
And, you know, our prayer is that for everybody listening to this, that your home and your husband, your wife, chooses commitment every day. It is a choice. That the same way the Bible talks about picking up our cross daily and following, committing is a cross that we carry every day. We pick up every morning, every day we wake up. Each day has its enough for that day. And the next day I'm committing. And my prayer is that both of you guys are committed to that. Because when you commit, then it becomes less about self, but more about this entity that God has given you to take care of, to nurture, to grow, to love the same way that Christ loves the church. And I believe that when we are true, when we are being honest to the Spirit of the Lord, that it will preserve our relationships. Again, if there is abuse, that means that at least one person is already deviating from the Spirit of the Lord, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is no abuse there. So if there's abuse, someone is already falling off the wagon. And it doesn't matter how much we may say, I'm Christian, right? We can say that all we want, but by their fruit, you will know them. And, you know, if there's abuse, that's a safety thing. You get out and you take care of yourself. That's the number one thing. However, what we're talking about here today is divorce is something that our culture takes very lightly. And it just seems like, you know, you can grab it just as quickly as you can grab like a drive-through burger from In-N-Out or whatever burger place lays around. And there is a complacency. And I also believe that the thing is this, we have to make sure that as Christians, we don't make the mistake of thinking that it's all physical, right? There's power at play here. We know that the devil has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And we know that one of the core things that God created at the get-go was a union like this,
correct,
right? And from the get-go, the devil has been trying to separate that union. So I also want us to keep that in mind, that we do not fight against flesh and blood, but there is spirit at play here. And that is why we have to make sure that we're every day lifting up ourselves, recommitting and inviting our spirits, our God, the Spirit of the Lord, to be in us every day. Because by ourselves, we literally cannot do it. Mm-hmm. But by the grace of God, yes, correct, we can.
Correct. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Talking about the Spirit of Christ in you that helps us. And when we walk in the Spirit, hallelujah, we can love, we can forgive, we can be humble, because Ephesians 5, again, we can submit to one another. And even before that, it's amazing. Apostle Paul talks about even submitting in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. So before we get to the marriage, the man or the woman is committed to love, committed to loving, committed to submission, committed to humility. By the time he or she now arrives and commits to marriage, then it models Christ and the church. And then when there are problems within that union, the grace of God through the working of the Spirit can bring about healing, wholeness, oneness. And these are things that will not happen instantaneously. It will happen over time. And marriage is something like you said, it's something that we have to constantly work on. It's a commitment by the will.
And I think I just feel it like, that we should just pray for people that are listening, because I know this is not an easy episode.
Correct.
And so right now we just pray for those that are listening to this episode. We pray for you, whatever is going on in your relationship. We just pray for healing in your heart, healing in your soul, healing in your spirit. If there's any places where hurt has landed, we pray that healing comes to that part in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. If there's any places where there is lack of forgiveness, we pray that God will resolve that for you in the name of Jesus. And even as we pray for that, I pray and speak life into your heart. I speak life into your marriage. I speak life into your husband. I speak life into your wife. I just pray right now that even the places where death already exists will come alive in the name of Jesus. Amen. This is going to take a daily work. It's not going to be easy, but you know what? By our own strength, it is not. But by God's power and by God's strength, all things are possible. So I just pray right now for you that God will open our spiritual eyes and your spiritual eyes to see your relationship as more than something that is just of the flesh and something that's just of this earth, but also just as something, a covenant that God has gifted you with, and that the places that the devil wants to come to steal and kill and destroy in, that in the name of Jesus, we will take back authority in the name of Jesus.
Amen. 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 Thank you guys for joining us, and look forward to having you guys on the next episode.
And don't forget to leave us that review, because it helps other people find this episode. I mean, there's anything we know for a fact, it's the fact that people need this message. So do us a solid, leave us a review, and don't forget to share with other married couples or people thinking about marriage mm-hmm. in your life. We love you guys, and we cannot wait to hear the thoughts that you have for us.
All right.
Bye-bye.